Okay, super nice. Welcome back, and welcome to you, Timo. It's like it's another 2 weeks that has passed. Yes, how indeed. Are you doing?
Good.
Yeah.
We upgraded our audio quality, as you can hear, maybe.
Yeah.
Thanks to your feedback. Sitting in a proper studio now.
Yeah. The first two ones was just like meeting room, computer, let's make it happen. Now we have soundproofed walls, a lot of cables and light. Is it like a more? It's a TV set.
Yeah.
And most importantly, there is a light in the corridor saying "recording" in red, so everybody
yes.
knows in the department that we're actually doing this now, which is a lot of fun. So, what has happened since the last times, Timo? You have stepped in a little bit in
yes.
in a. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, a lot of things have happened. One of the things that's going on right now is that Malmestad is setting up a new contact center, basically like customer support for the city of Malmö. It's going to be centralized now from one location. And I'm stepping in there, helping him out with the technology part, getting the system up and running, going through different scenarios, making sure that by the time we launch, we actually have something that's
yeah.
working and is going to serve our citizens.
How does it make you feel so far?
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun and a bit frustrating.
Okay.
It's just a different world
yeah.
in technologies that we're using in there than
yeah.
what we're doing ourselves and
yeah.
who's involved with it. But I think we're going to get something good going
yeah.
there.
I think like my reflection over seeing you stepping in is also when we procure things, we shouldn't talk too long about this, but when we procure things, there's no one really talking about the internal costs that the city has. You only go on the external price of what the thing cost.
Absolutely.
And do not take into account the internal cost that is just, you know, flooding in there from all parts because of you bought something that was really cheap on the outside.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think that's something we can come back to going forward. Have we gotten
yeah.
some more feedback from the HR survey? I think it's...
Yes, so
yeah.
Since the last time we actually ran the HR survey tool internally in our department, tried it out and got good feedback on it.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up failing a bit by having a little skewed thing in the reports.
Mm-hmm.
But well, since we've built it in-house, I could just go in, fix it in 20 minutes, and we had it up and running and
yeah.
worked fine. I think we got some good feedback on what is working, what's wrong with the questions,
mm-hmm.
how we can change them in the future. And yeah.
I also got an email saying that they haven't forgot about us in the HR department yesterday, actually. So they're still going to test it in some other places and see where it goes.
Yeah. Hmm? And then...
Yeah, the biggest news, I would say, almost, is the next point we
yeah.
have here. Is
good old thing called Felanmälan.
Exactly, the citizen reporting tool, basically.
Right.
And we have our little friend from Denmark in to help us out with that.
Yes.
A girl called Rige, who's doing
yeah.
an amazing job.
Amazing
on.
Job in
yeah.
figuring out the user experience and doing a lot of research right now on the different use cases for the system, and we hope we're going to get something
exactly.
great up and running.
And it ties a little bit neatly into the contact center and the new
exactly.
setup and those
yeah.
things. So I think we're grasping.
So just for people that haven't used that tool before, it's a way for citizens basically to report anything. They might see debris in the streets or
mm-hmm.
a broken street light or a pothole
yeah.
on the streets. They can report it to the city and then we will take care of fixing it.
Exactly. And we're going to make that flow feel really nice and simple
yes.
and not as it is today. Then another big thing, we got 4 students in, right, working on digitizing all those massive amount of PDFs that the city has for you to apply for different things or, you know, if you need a place for your kids to go to kindergarten and so on. So we are starting really to digitalize all those things across the board. We still haven't made sure that all the departments are happy with what we do, but we do not see an issue with that. We're just going to crunch through, release
yeah.
it to the citizens. The departments is going to get a PDF looking the same way it does today, but the citizens doesn't need to print it, sign it, scan it, and
exactly.
send it in. So, and the students are doing an amazing job, I have
super
to say.
They,
I, just to give you some perspective, the city had worked on it for a little bit more than 6 months, and we had about, I don't know, 25, 30 done after 6 months. The students came in a Wednesday, and on Friday they had finished 3, and 8 was work in progress. And this afternoon we have a second demo, and I hope to see some more stats on how much they have pushed
and also
through.
Getting great feedback on, like, what is doable with the platform, what is not doable, what are we missing right now, how can we solve those issues, and raising them early on so we can, get working on fixing them.
Yeah. Good. In that, though,
yes.
we had some issues. Maybe it's us. Maybe we're new to Malmö City. I don't know. But we were trying to get access for those students into different kinds of systems, but especially then in also to the tool that they were using to produce those forms and the e-services that they need. And it was a really weird process, at least for you and I, where we needed to mail and, you know, expectations was that it takes at least a week. And, you know, we are not used to having that much. Maybe you are, Timo, but I'm not used to having that much heads up in terms of just getting access to what we need. And I think I ended up sitting in internal support calls waiting for someone at IT to pick up the phone. It took like 40 minutes and, you know, several mails back and forth, still not passwords working. There is really weird design in how you log in. There is a lot of issues with that I think we want to stretch out a little bit longer this podcast, right?
Yes, exactly. And it kind of ties in a bit in what we talked about last time and in the first episode as well, when it comes to like buying tools, making sure that they have right integrations, and when you ask for procurement, that you make sure that they provide you with integrations. And one of those integrations is, for instance, an identity service. So basically, when you talk about user management, so you have like two concepts. One is called authentication. That's basically, is that person who is saying that they are? Like, is this really Mons trying to log in? Yes or no? That's the authentication part. And then you have the authorization part, which means, like, is Mons allowed to use this e-service tool or this email client, whatever? And there's, of course, tons of different ways of doing that. But, like, from the enterprise world, the standard way of doing it nowadays is through a protocol called SAML 2.0. That's just the technology behind it. But the idea is basically we as a city, Malmö Stad, we're in complete control of how authentication should be looking like. So that means in an ideal world, of course, if all the systems would be ready, you as an employee in Malmö Stad, you have one password, you have one user account, you might have a second factor authentication, which means like you might provide an SMS code or something like that. So we control all of that. So the security level is always on our end. And then you sign in with that, and that would give you access to whatever system we're using.
I think, like, conceptually, just to get people to understand, is it a little bit like I think about when I'm online today and I sign up for a new service? It was a long time ago. I actually signed up to create a new account. I often click this login as Gmail, Google,
or log in
as Facebook, kind of. So it's the same mentality, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then you can set up your Gmail account in a way that you always have to use a high security standard with SMS-based verification, stuff like that. But you only have to care about that. And for especially for systems that you log in once every 10 months, it's amazing to just be able to click and be like,
How do you work then with, you know, what would be your preferred way of... We just take the scenario we have, Timo, where we have 4 new students coming in. We have a lot of things to do. We just want it to work, and, you know, we need to do it on a need time basis. We can't plan weeks ahead and wait for IT and hope that they get back. How would you manage and distribute that, and what kind of service would that be? And do you have any thoughts on that?
Definitely depends on the flow, but like a standard way or one way of doing it, right, would be we basically register them with our HR department. So they are basically put into the system as they are now users of Malmö Stad.
Yeah. Is that something HR do, or is it something you and I could do?
It's something that me and you could do, I guess, through some HR system if we would have access to it, depending on... Yeah. But it could be something that we can do if we have the authority to let them in. And then we basically, you can assign them different kind of labels, like those four guys are going to be working with e-services. And then just by assigning them that label, that would automatically grant them access to the system and maybe whatever else accounts they might need. Email account, depending on this, maybe not for students, but yeah. All the tools that you might need would automatically be assigned to you as a user, depending on your role in the company, the department you're working in. And then at the same time, if they leave us again, we would just tell them now they're gone. That automatically removes all the login capabilities for them. They can't sign into anything anymore, and we know that there's no, like, we have full control over them.
So why do you think organizations doesn't set it up so you and I could have full control over that? What are organizations afraid of? Like, why do we need central organizations as HR to do those tasks? Or why do we need IT to do those tasks? Or do you have any thoughts on that, Timo?
I would, my gut feeling is like that's just legacy. That's how it needed to be used to be done. When you have like a like VPN kind of access to systems, you didn't have fine-grained authentication rights. People always had all the rights to do everything. So I guess there's just this different mentality of how you saw how a system used to be. And of course, they will still be around in a place like a city. We have a lot of legacy that we need to deal with. But I think one thing that is for sure and that we need to realize is I have a strong belief that the cities in the end will use more and more different kind of companies that solve one case. And they are not going to be on-premise anymore, like running within the city, but they're going to be cloud-based solutions. So maybe now we have two systems, but in the end, like, we will have 1,000 small systems that each are around, and then you need to get them into the system, and then you need a new way of doing that, I think.
And I think, because I've been talking around a little bit about this, and I heard that, of course, the city is working on it. They want it to work, right? They're talking about it, and they have a kind of, you know, Active Directory that it can go through, and, you know, where everything is collected, and we have that. But I still see the hierarchies in the organization, which is more based on trust and giving people trust and giving every little department, unit, every little team the full access to whatever they need to do. Which means that if they want to employ someone tomorrow, they should be able to without needing to go through HR or without needing to go through IT or without... You should have that control on yourself. And if you need to have higher layers of trust, maybe you do a two-way where you say that, well, Mons can't set it up alone, but if Mons and Timo agrees that you set it up, then, you know, we accept that level of trust, and then, you know, boom, all in and so on.
And then, of course, there are systems, as you mentioned, like that need high security, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to let everybody in, but then there's a lot of tools where it can be really... If we use internally a tool to keep track of what we're doing, then that's between us teams. So our team should be able to easily decide, okay, let those people in, remove those people without having to include tech support for them.
And it's not, when you think about it, it's not complicated. It's in the end of the day, just seeing what services do we need and then just have tick boxes, basically. And
pretty
then, of course... I know that a lot of people now is going to scream like, but what if, you know, we have all those really, really sensitive data and blah, blah. Of course, I mean, if there is really strong things that we need to keep very safe, I'm totally fine with it being a hard time setting those kind of things up.
Yeah.
But in our case now, in our scenario, it was four students coming in, doing PDFs
into
forms in a sandbox environment. It's nothing that even goes publicly live. There's no issues that could happen. If something goes wrong, that's the whole purpose of having a sandbox environment where you're allowed to fail, basically.
Right.
And that's where we want to start. And then, of course, you need a process for making sure that once it goes public, it works, it sends the stuff that the different departments need and so on. But in the beginning, you just need to get things up and running, and you need to give that trust to the different kinds of units and within your organization.
And then when we come to, like, I mean, I totally understand that we have legacy and that we need to deal with that. But the important part is that we are making sure that we're not creating continuously more legacy by buying systems that don't work in a modern way. So I think in the buying process, we have to make sure they provide something, a single sign-on capabilities that we can integrate, and then we should keep track of what are all the systems that don't have those capabilities and make sure we have a plan of how we're going to fade them out over the next
Or make sure that they start working.
Or make sure that those vendors upgrade the systems to support a modern way of logging in.
Is there anything else that we want to touch upon for today's podcast in terms of getting this proper user management and ways of distributing the sort of the trust so every little team, every little department, every little unit has full capabilities of setting everything up that they need, basically free access to all the tools that they are in need of?
That's the gist of it. We need to make sure to just think different system through, like who are the people that are involved in it, what's the data that's stored in there, is there any high security issues, and then have a couple of different processes of how the authentication should look like. I think that's all. And when we buy systems, make sure to support a modern way of authentication.
And I think I just want to finish off with an analogy. I mean, just sometimes I can feel coming in here, I used the carpenter kind of analogy before, it feels like I'm coming into a workshop and I need to go and ask somewhere for a hammer, or I need to go and ask somewhere to use a saw, or I need to go and ask. It shouldn't be like that. It should just hang on the wall. If I need it, I go and pick it up and then I can use it. And people should trust me that I'm good enough to not screw up. And if it is a really, really high security machine that can, you know, explode and kill everyone in the workshop, well, maybe then it's okay that there is a little bit higher security and I need to go and ask and get trained or whatever I need to access that machine. But otherwise, it should be all on the wall, all open, all easy for me to access. And that's it. Cool. Thanks for today, guys. See you in 2 weeks, I guess.
Yes.
Cool.
Bye-bye.
Bye.